Welcome to Season 7, Episode 14 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to have a good old chinwag about some very cool, mysterious technology. We've got a command line love, and we've got your feedback. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat thingamabob on the website or in the UUPC IRC channel on the Freenode IRC network. I'm Tony, and joining me this week again, it's the full team. It's Alan.
Hello.
It's Mark.
Hello.
It's Laura.
Hiya.
So, how are we all?
Great.
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
Let's crack on with it. No. Let's delve into some of those statements a little bit further. Alan, just how are you?
Yeah, great.
Have you been up to anything interesting?
Yeah, I took the day off yesterday.
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh. Yeah, and worked on some Ubuntu stuff.
Wow, really? People getting their value for money there.
No, I was working on stuff that I really couldn't justifiably do while being paid. Oh, okay. I figured it was not within my job description, so I'll just take the day off and work on it. And yeah, it's it was Ubuntu Mate Remix stuff that I've been working on with Martin Wimpress, who we interviewed a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
about the Mate project. Yes. So we kind of got together and decided to make an Ubuntu remix. And yeah, we did that.
Cool. And that's going well.
Yes, people, it's going well. We're still working on it. It's not quite done yet.
Right.
But yeah, once it's done, we'll put an image out and people can play with it.
So people can't play with it just yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I'll let everyone know when they can.
Everybody will be on tenderhooks.
Yes, keep an eye on the website, ubuntu-mate.org.
Cool. So, Mark, what about you?
I went to the Typo 3 Developer Days in the Netherlands.
What's that about?
So Typo 3 is a really popular open source content management system in Germany.
Right, but you were in the Netherlands.
Yes, so I mean they've got their community is sort of they're
spread out
a bit from Germany. Like they have some in the Netherlands, and they've got their organisation is based in Switzerland, and there's a few people in the UK and one person in America.
Like the David Hasselhoff of content management systems.
You're the second person I've spoken to today about this who made the David Hasselhoff comparison.
Are they also big in Japan?
But yeah, so I was there at their developer days where they basically have all of their developers doing workshops, much like an Ubuntu developer summit used to be, or more like a sprint perhaps.
What's your interest in Typo 3?
Right, so we were running OSWatch, we do sort of community building activities and stuff, and as part of that we've been doing some work with running communication workshops for the developers of Typo 3 to encourage them to talk to each other.
Right, and getting them all in together in one room was a start.
Well, we did talk to them all at once. We ran a series of sort of smaller sessions. It's not the kind of thing you do to 200 people at once.
Right.
But no, yes, so we did sessions on various areas of communicating and whatnot.
Nice.
Cool.
You communicated that well, Mark.
Yes.
You should be paid to do it. Laura, what about you?
I've been playing with my awesome new phone.
Ooh.
And Miracast.
Okay, so awesome new phone is what?
Sony
Xperia
Z1 Compact.
It's nice.
It's awesome.
It is quite nice.
Android?
Yes, but with some quite funky Sony stuff on top.
Ooh. Okay. And Miracast?
Save it for a longer discussion.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, why don't we do that then?
Okay. So let's have that discussion now.
Smooth.
It was worth the 15
seconds.
It's
almost like we planned that.
Yeah.
So what is this thing you've bought?
It's a Miracast receiver, a Miracast adapter for my television.
Who makes it?
My adapter is made by Netgear, but lots of people make them.
Okay, so this is a thing that sits under the telly,
mm-hmm.
plugs into the telly.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of them about.
Yep.
You happen to have bought the Netgear one.
Yes. So new tellies do it anyway.
Oh, really? Yeah. What you call smart
tellies, yeah. I don't know if it's all of them or Sony and some or whatever, but
right.
I've got a Sony Bravia TV, but it's a few years old and it doesn't do that.
Right.
So this plugs into the HDMI socket on the TV and gives me that receiver capability for Miracast.
Receive what? Yes.
So Miracast is, you can say on your Android tablet, you can click the cast button and it will cast the screen to the
The TV. Entire screen?
Yes.
So whatever you've got on the screen, anything at all?
Anything at all on the screen. So you've got to be careful, obviously.
But the Chromecast...
I don't. Chromecast, I don't know what you're saying.
So this is different to a Chromecast.
So, yes, a Chromecast, I believe, is just in the browser, or is that everything?
No, the Chromecast is different. Should we do the Chromecast after this?
Yeah, right. Okay, then.
So what would you use that? I mean, I can understand, like, right now, mm-hmm. we are casting your tablet to the screen so we can see the clock that tells us how long we can talk about this subject.
Yes. And that's what real... sort of sparked the idea.
Ah, okay. What real-world example of what you would actually do that's not podcasting in your lounge? Studio L.
Oh. Is that not enough?
Wow.
So, when my mum and dad were here, we were projecting photos. We'd been out for the day, and all the photos I downloaded to my tablet and then projected them on screen so we could look at them. In fact, before that, we looked through all their holiday photos. All 160 of them.
Hello, Mum and Dad.
Hi, Mum. She doesn't listen.
So let me get this straight. So you've got an app on your tablet that's like whatever it could be, mm-hmm. and it's like photos or browser, yeah. anything, and it just, the entire screen goes. I mean, I can see on yeah. your TV the three soft Android buttons, back, yes. home, and switch.
And the icons at the top.
And the pull-down thing. I want to reach over to your telly and swipe down from the top of the screen for some reason. Can you just send one application rather than the whole machine?
That might be what Throw is. So that's okay. The Sony thing. So Cast is a general Android thing. I think Sony call it Screencast. But Sony also have this concept of Throw. And as far as I can tell, it's exactly the same thing. But right. actually...
Just their branded version of it.
Well, no, it has both.
Okay.
So it might be that Throw is the specific thing because that's in like their album app and the video app and things. Haven't tried that, but maybe that's what that is.
Okay.
So, and of course, some apps will do full screen, so you won't see, like, we've got the bar at the top and the buttons at the bottom.
Yeah, Chrome browser doesn't seem to let you go full screen on Android.
But, like, you know, if you were playing a video in the YouTube app or something, you could go full screen.
Yes.
But when you say playing a video, so, it's full screen on your device, but what's the latency like? Is it sending, like, VNC, sending the contents of your screen constantly to your TV over wireless? I guess it must be.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially if you plugged an HDMI cable into your tablet, if you could.
But with a bit of latency, because it's having to compress that and throw it across the wireless and get to your TV, isn't it?
And apparently there isn't a minimum standard of latency, or maximum latency, in the Miracast spec. But I haven't noticed.
What, so it could be really laggy.
It could be really laggy, and maybe it depends on the device. I don't know.
Or what you're doing. I mean, what you're doing right now is mostly a single static screen with some numbers changing. So.
I have played a short video. I didn't notice a problem. And with the album, you do a swipe and it changes. Right. I noticed when I was swiping between pictures when I projected my phone to the TV, it's almost like it's got two resolutions. It comes in and then clears.
Okay, so it sounds like a low res and then sends the wireless.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really obviously lower, but it's enough that you can just about see it's different.
So how does this compare to other devices? You were saying that it's like a Chromecast.
Well, so a Chromecast is a bit different, isn't it? Because you have apps on the Chromecast which receive data from apps on your tablet rather than... And that way, the Chromecast doesn't currently just mirror a screen.
Well, kind of. So I have a Chromecast, which is similar to this thing, but different enough in that it's not sending you the full screen from your device.
Yeah.
With the Chromecast, on my Ubuntu laptop, I can go to youtube.com and then there's a little button in the corner of YouTube and you just press that button and it sends whatever you're watching in YouTube to the telly, but that through the Chromecast.
Yeah.
But the Chromecast loads like a YouTube app kind of thing,
okay,
and then just start streaming the video, but the video doesn't come from your laptop,
right?
Your laptop tells the Chromecast
go get
to
us off YouTube.
Go and play this video, and then the Chromecast connects to YouTube and then plays it full screen.
Yeah, so I think Miracast is sending it from your tablet or whatever, so you're going via, I think that's what it's doing.
Directly,
yeah.
Okay.
Certainly when I'm showing my photo album, it's literally showing it from
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it couldn't be coming from anywhere else.
No.
But, so
the nice thing about the Chromecast is that it has quite good app support. So, right. for example, in I can do send YouTube videos to the telly. I can also send Netflix to the telly
yeah.
and iPlayer. So when the kids at home have Android tablets and iPhones, and their friends come around with Android tablets and iPhones, and they just open up whatever, iPlayer or Netflix, and there's a button, that cast button, the little square with the lines in the corner, they just press that and it sends it to the telly. And then they fight over the telly because they're all connected to the same Chromecast, and one of them will put a music video on, and then someone else will say, no, I want to watch this, and they'll just like take over. I leave them to it. It seems like, but you can also, with Chromecast, there's an extension for Chrome where you can share your browser.
Right.
But it's really quite slow. I found it very difficult.
Okay.
Right. Not, so it's more like what Miracast are doing, in that it's sending what's on your screen to the TV.
Yes.
So the other week when you said you'd got a Chromecast and you told me what you could do with it, and I said, you can do all that on my Virgin TiVo box.
Yes.
And then this evening, you discovered that possibly Virgin TiVo are actually using a Chromecast inside or something.
Your TiVo box shows up when I go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Shows up as a device that I can cast to. But it's not, I don't think it's using the same protocol as your
Miracast
Netgear box, because I can't send YouTube to that, but I can send it to your TiVo. Yeah. So there's at least, like, so there's the Miracast devices which allow you to send full screen. I'm still not convinced of the usefulness.
It's just
of that. Other than, well, yeah, okay, there's a giant clock on your telly now.
So
that's come from your tablet. So well done.
When Mum and Dad were here, actually, we found that Mum's Windows 8.1, although Windows 8.1 supports Miracast, the hardware she had it on didn't for some reason. So we actually couldn't use it with that, and we had to plug the HDMI cable directly into her laptop, which was fine. So basically, it's been able to do that without having to cable it.
Right.
Would it work for presentations like PowerPoint style?
In yes.
Presentations? I suppose it would, wouldn't it?
As long as you had a receiver in the...
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, ultimately everybody might do. Miracast is based on Wi-Fi Direct, WIDI.
Yes. So it's like peer-to-peer
which is an Intel thing, yeah. And it's a standard... I think that's... Well, Miracast is definitely a standard. I assume WIDI is. So, yeah, that's... And it's, so your graphics hardware has to support that.
Oh.
And your operating system. And so I looked into Ubuntu, because it'd be cool if I could do this from my laptop.
Right.
And currently there isn't any Linux support for that. However, there was a project started in February this year by David Herman, I think. He's done lots of stuff. So he's been working on that since about February, and it's not at a point where it's got a distribution package yet,
right.
but the source code up. And he's trying to make... It's called Miraclecast, and that's basically enabling Linux to... do this push to TV is what
right.
Netgear call it. Yes, you can do that from Ubuntu then.
So there's another couple of projects that I've heard of. One is called XBeam MC, which isn't out yet, but I believe the developer is doing a closed beta starting this weekend. So if you go to XBeam.com, awesome name. If you go to that website, you can sign up for the beta. But the idea of that is, if you've got an XBMC box, you can send from other devices and beam to XBMC.
Okay.
So if you've got like already got a media type device under your telly, you can do this kind of thing, but in the way that the Chromecast does, where you send it and it streams directly to the device rather than it mirroring.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that's where the mirror in Miracast comes from, because it's mirroring your screen. The other one that's interesting is Mozilla have not so much announced, but one of their developer evangelists posted a picture of a similar device to the Chromecast. There's a little white stick that runs Firefox OS, which apparently does similar things to the Chromecast or these devices. We don't really know any details yet.
So I think Miracast, as you say, it's more about mirroring, I think. And so it's a bit more like you plug your laptop into a projector.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a way, I mean, primarily at the moment anyway, it's a way of connecting your Android or similar Windows 8.1 device to a big screen without having to plug it into anything, which does away with some of the connector issues as long as it's HDMI supported.
Does it do sound as well?
Yes. Ah. Yes, sound and video.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's slightly more interesting then. But the frame rate is slow, so you can't play a game on it.
I don't know.
I would imagine, if it's going over Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It would certainly struggle, I think, to keep up with very fast moving or things with lots of changes in it, I guess.
Tony's woken up. I was talking about games.
Yeah. You've hit my...
Maybe we should have tried
it. Is there a faster version of Wi-Fi than what you'd have on an ordinary?
Well, there's various fast Wi-Fi, but it all adds latency. And on gaming, it's all about latency and frames per second.
But it's not doing it over your actual Wi-Fi, so it is like a access point, so there's nothing else using that connection.
Huh? Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not connected to my Wi-Fi network. It's like it's on the full access
like a
point.
Peer-to-peer thing.
But it would still be subject to radio frequency interference.
Yeah, because you've got your other wireless access point there, which is going to be broadcasting into the same air.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realise that. It's direct connection.
Yeah. Direct Wi-Fi. Oh, Wi-Fi direct.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's different. And that's really strange. I don't know how that works. But I'm still boggling at what this is useful for.
Photos.
That's, yeah.
So, like, for instance, having a digital photo frame on your TV. Going back to what Mum does, she's got an Apple TV, and so she can play music from her laptop to her Apple TV, which plays it through her television.
Right.
And can do the same thing with photo albums and have them displaying when we've got people around, so you can see everyone's photos.
But the difference between if you lump Apple TV and Chromecast and those together. The difference is that you can multitask and that the tablet or phone is a second screen on which you can do something else or control the first screen. So with a Chromecast, you start a video and then you can go away and do something else and the video carries on playing.
But that's playing through your internet then?
Yes. Whereas Miracast, once you mirror the device to the screen, that is the only thing you can do on that device. And as soon as you swipe away, that's all you can do. So it's a dedicated...
It's more like a VGA connection.
Right, exactly.
But better.
Huh. I suppose that is the general use case is anything you might want to plug a laptop into a TV to look at on a big screen.
Yeah.
So like watching a movie.
You can do this. It's just you haven't got a trailer lead across your front room.
Which is quite cool.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask how much the box was?
I think it was 20 something to 30 something, but that was discounted on Amazon, but there are much cheaper ones, and I think that's probably about the most expensive one when it's full price, the Netgear.
And does it come with a power lead, or is it plug into USB or something?
It comes with a USB lead that you can plug into your TV if your TV's new enough, but it also has a USB power adapter.
Oh, cool.
So you can just plug it in.
Right, so that's the same as the Chromecast,
and
really.
Just to give the listeners an idea, how big would you say it is? What would you compare it to? Deck of cards, perhaps? Half a deck of cards?
It's smaller than an Altoids tin.
Sorry?
What?
What?
Smaller than an Altoids tin. Bigger than a credit card.
That almost common reference size Altoids
tin. Oh my God. Write in if you know what an Altoids tin is.
I'm sure there will be people out there who do.
Yeah, it's a common geek frame of reference. It's like one football field. Everyone knows how big a football field is, and how big
hang on, this tin is the size of a football field.
So sorry,
it's a very big Altoids tin.
Any other Alan Partridge synonyms you'd like to crack out there?
Just before we finish this, Breezer is listening live and has asked in the #UUPCIRC channel: is the Miracast HDMI only? As he only has old style TVs.
It's specifically HD. It's the point of it is to transmit HD. So.
Well, you wouldn't be able to get sound if you weren't using HDMI as well, unless you had some sort of splitter thing.
Yeah, the answer is no. It's HDMI only.
Brilliant. That's the connections it's got as well.
Because the picture would be stretched, I think. I don't think it does anything clever.
Right.
Yeah, I can see black borders either side of your desktop.
Okay. Mm. Excellent.
So I would love to hear from people who would... already have one of these devices, not necessarily that one, but ones like that, or similar type devices, and what you would use it for, because I'd love to know what these use cases are. I can't
fathom
it yet.
It's just awesome.
Yeah, you say that. I'm not getting it.
I can see. One of the,
it's my fault.
One of the things, one of the things about Miraclecast, the Linuxy project, the open source project, is that he thinks that with some very little effort, you'd be able to add Chromecast and Apple AirPlay support to it as well.
Now, that would be quite cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool. Well, if you're using such a thing and you want to tell us about your experiences, email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org.
And now command line love. And it's two times the fun today.
Oh, yeah. We didn't think this through.
So we've got two command line loves for you today. The first one is reset.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. So what does reset do?
So I've used this a number of times recently. So sometimes my terminal gets a bit messed up in that it's got dodgy characters all over the screen, or I'm not talking Mario and Luigi. I'm talking like, you know, strange ASCII characters or
how?
Something. So if you've accidentally like catted a file and you accidentally cat a binary file,
it like echoes random.
Yeah. Like you would, but yeah, you might, or in some way just messed up your terminal and you've got all your terminals laid out in a way that you don't want to close that one, but you just want to make it fix it. You just type reset.
Typically, you can see this because the prompt looks strange. And
yeah, you can't see
characters.
What you're typing. Yeah. But you can, so long as you can type and you see stuff appearing, you could probably just type reset, press enter, and it resets all the settings in that terminal. It clears the screen, resets it, and it's all back to normal. And it's really, really cool. And the other reason I've had to do it is when I've done connecting to an Android device using ADB shell over USB cable, that monkeys with the terminal sometimes, so that you've got a terminal that's like 132 characters wide, but it's locked into only using 80 characters wide. And when you come out of ADB shell, you're sometimes left in that kind of like portal inside your terminal. And if you just do reset, it undoes all that rubbish.
I've had that when I've been doing like a telnet connection over a serial cable.
Yes, that kind of thing. Yeah, reset. It's awesome.
Okay, so that's a good get out of jail free card. And the second one, Mark?
Is pipe things to column T.
What does that do?
So things like if you do mount and then pipe that into column-T, then it basically takes, if you have an output of a command which has stuff in columns, but they're not like lined up nicely, so you have like, you know, some space and then something and then some space and then something, then this will take those and make them all the same width, so you end up with everything in a nice table in the shell.
Yeah, so commands that are commonly like malformatted, like mount or df, where the columns don't all line up, just pipe them to column-t and it lines them all up. It's brilliant.
Cool. And where have we stolen these from?
Commandlinefoo.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much to them for letting us steal them.
Borrow. Yeah.
We'll give them back.
Share the knowledge.
And now it's time for your feedback. We've had a bunch of lovely feedback from our listeners, so let's crack on. Remy Van Elst has emailed in to say,
here's my own solution for the Dropbox problem, aka encrypted local and offsite syncing of files between machines. Include URL here. I need something that encrypts the files on my machines and puts the encrypted blobs on /many servers and syncs to my machines. It uses SSH, Git, Encfs and DVCS autosync to do all that. It's hard
for you to say.
It's hard to set up, has no GUI, thus requires a CLI, but it is a breeze to use afterwards. It works on Mac and Linux, and all the individual components are available on Windows, which implies that maybe they haven't been put together on Windows. If you want a more friendly alternative, which also uses Git but also has a GUI and works on Android, you might want to look at Git Annex. And there's a URL. Please do read through my article. Maybe even try it. I'd like some honest feedback.
I have.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And the honest feedback is?
About a year ago when we last talked about this. We, in fact, have mentioned this exact URL before. Oh. And, I mentioned Remy. And, I tried it. And, he's right. It is a pain to set up. But once it's set up, you end up with a nice encrypted folder on your local file system. And when you run a command, it mounts it so that you can then see it. And it's unencrypted. And so you can see all the files in there. And it syncs via Git. And you can see the Git process running and syncing stuff all over the place. And, it does work quite nicely. I switched away from that to using sync thing which I've said a million times. But it is good if you like using those tools and you want it nice and secure and encrypted. It's
so
good.
What was your reason for switching to SyncThing?
I think I had a problem with DVCS AutoSync and it killed my machine. And also the other thing was I think I messed up the EncFS bit at some point so that I couldn't actually see my encrypted files anymore.
I can see why that would be a problem.
But I think that was my mess up, not Remy's.
Okay, cool. Well, there we go. And on Twitter, John D. Kent said...
Ever looked at SpiderUp?
Yes.
Okay, I'll stop there then. He moved from Dropbox to that for the same security concerns that you have re-encryption.
Now, I can't remember if SpiderUp or CrashPlan. I've used both, and one of them is written in Java and is horrible and... ran like a complete pig on my laptop. So whichever one of those it is, I didn't like. The other one was quite good.
Oh, good.
I think one of them has a really terrible UI, and I think it was SpiderUp had a terrible UI for managing what do I sync and where are all the files and that kind of stuff. It may have been fixed recently, I don't know, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
Fair enough. What's up?
So Alex said...
I noticed that you mentioned switching to another OS in order to use Spotify. Did you know that there's a Debian/Ubuntu version of Spotify available? It's referred to as a preview version, despite having been released almost 4 years ago and received updates since then.
What was the context of us saying that?
I don't remember, no idea. To be honest.
I don't remember us talking about Spotify.
I do remember someone saying, if you want to switch to another OS, to use Spotify, for example, I think...
Oh, okay.
I can't remember why.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe we missed that. No, yeah. So, yes, I've certainly used what he's talking about since it was released. And, yes. In fact, now I just tend to use it through the web browser.
Yeah,
rather than
I do as well.
Install
yeah,
it.
Me too.
I just use the web player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although there is a bug in the web player that it doesn't report to Last.fm or Scrobbly.
Oh, yeah. Are they fixing that?
They said they would fix it. And, well, they said they'd pass it on and it might get fixed in some months.
Cool.
Hey-ho.
Go community.
Good luck.
And Ed said,
I have noticed that Gpodder on Ubuntu 12.04 downloads OGG files from the MP3 feeds.
Oh,
dear me. It seems that it doesn't look at the enclosure statement. I realized that something was wrong as I wasn't getting any Ubuntu UK podcast on my MP3 player. It doesn't seem that any of the web server links are wrong as I can get the direct link to the MP3 of your show. It seems to be an error with Gpodder. Have you heard of this before, Tony?
No.
Okay. I think this might be because we changed the feeds and both files are in the enclosure, aren't they?
They are in the Atom feed, but they are in separate RSS feeds, so that shouldn't be a problem.
We did fiddle it, yes. So what you might want to do is remove the feed from Gpodder and then re-add the feed that we've got, the new URLs that are linked on the top left-hand corner of the page. Just remove it and re-add it and let us know if that fixes it. If not, then we'll have to, I don't know, file a bug with Gpodder. I know the upstream Gpodder developer is very active and very friendly, so we'll speak to them.
Fantastic.
We have also had an email from Lee, who says...
I am the founder of a new not-for-profit organization called Pixelated Projects. You can find that at pixelatedprojects.org. The project has three objectives: to support individuals on the negatives of technology, plus to educate and demonstrate the positives of technology. The primary function of Pixelated Projects is to create unbiased and truthful resources and learning materials that can be used within our community, through schools, community groups, small businesses, etc. Over the next few months, we will be starting on the development process to create learning resources for schools and individuals concerning Linux-based technologies and are in desperate need of some more volunteers who'd like to help refine the unbiased information.
But what is truth?
What is unbiased?
Wow, that's a bold project. Yes. Yeah, so go to pixelatedprojects.org and maybe volunteer some time if you can.
Yeah, but keep the bias out of it.
Yes.
And the truth in.
I think that's the end of the feedback.
The Ubuntu podcast needs you. Yes, you. If you hear something that tickles, titillates, or taunts you, tweet us at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook, and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. We really would like to hear from you. So go on, do your duty, keep calm, and compose an email.
That's it for this show. The next live show will be on Wednesday, the 9th of July, at 8:30 in the evening, UK time, PM. I think we've covered that, haven't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good.
Super. Right.
Excellent. Well, I think that was a good, interesting discussion about display screen technologies and remote viewing and stuff.
Yes.
I like the command line love. That was good as well.
Also, if anyone's got any interviews, people they think we should interview,
I've got one.
Okay.
I better email us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Podcast@ubuntu-uk.org.
Or, poke us on Twitter @UUPC or any of us.
Yeah.
Hopey, Tony Whitmore, or Mark Johnson.
We're always interested, aren't we?
Yes.
Right. Anyway, thanks for listening and join us next time.
Bye.
Bye.